Amen. Well, I posted a thing, you know, about being young. You know, you say you're only as young as you feel. You know, I know some people have physical things in their bodies and it does slow them down. I get that. But a lot of youth is your mindset. Ken does 100 push-ups a day, don't you, Ken? Staying young? He does. So a lot of it really is your mindset. You know, I made a decision about my health, just practical. I trust God as my healer, but I made decisions about my health and how I eat and how I take care of myself. And I know we're all different. We have different challenges. I'm married to Pam, and her situation is different than mine. But it's important you take care of yourself. You want to live a long life and glorify God, live to 71, 72, 78. I don't know how old, Larry, I don't know how old you are. Who's the oldest in the church anyway? You're not. Charlie. Okay. Look how good Charlie looks. Denny's a few years older than me, and he runs 5 miles a day now, right? So he's staying healthy, so praise God. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for your word. That's what it's about. And Lord Jesus, we love you. And what Ken said is so true. Lord, because we're sinners by nature and because we sin, we are separated from you apart from what Christ did on that cross. And that doesn't mean hell, Lord. It means eternity away from you. And it's a serious thing. And Lord, we have, because it's serious, we have a message to share with the world. And help us to be bold in it. Help us to be hearing from you. But Lord, it's good news. It's not the gospel, it's good news. I really believe, Lord, I know a couple people that departed this life this week. And Lord, I really believe they're with you and they get to spend eternity with you. It's a choice we make, Lord. I pray, Father, that we all take that choice seriously. And even in our family and our friends, that we're always holding forth the word of life with all the grace that you give us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with your Bibles. Go to Matthew 23. And I'm actually continuing. Today is the Independence Day, and I'm grateful. I really did try to think about preaching a message on freedom, talking about independence, because it's our nation being free, being independent, and it's really important. Voting is important. Who you support, you know, in the elections is very important. Voting is very important. A lot of people are involved in the process. There was a gang at that outreach yesterday where they're actually going into the schools because there's a law that says that kids can opt out of a class and they can go to private instruction and you're allowed to preach the gospel. Can't remember the name of the organization, but they were there. What was it? Way of Life or
Lifewise.
So they were there and they were talking about, like, we're able to preach the gospel in schools. They haven't shut, there's laws on the books. So it's important. And they said that hundreds of kids are hearing the gospel every week because of that. And it's important that we support godly men and women, that we vote godly men and women, and that we keep, I'm a freedom guy. I'm not going to talk about politics today or anything, but I'm a freedom guy. And this country is based on freedom. We're independent from, you know, British tyranny, and we have a constitution that we need to uphold. It's the bottom line about the Bill of Rights is freedom, right? It's all about freedom of speech. We can say what we want. We shouldn't be banned, even if it's wrong. I had another Instagram monitored me, and I quoted something, I guess it was, and then they put, you know, you can't say that, and they put it out there. You can't. They're very selective about what they say you can say and can't say. If it goes along with their agenda, you can say whatever you want. If it doesn't, they'll ban it. Well, that's not American. That's not American, banning people off of, platforms that are social platforms. That's not America. So I believe in freedoms, and we need to be praying for our country that we don't lose our freedoms in this country. We need voting integrity. We need sovereign. We have a sovereign nation. We need integrity about our borders. We need freedom in this country. Don't want to preach about it, but we got to be involved in the process. We got to vote. We got to be educated. We got to know what people are really doing. Boy, I could get off on, we need good government. I got a pay cut. Did you guys know that? Yeah, I'm paying like $50 more a month for gas. That's a pay cut. Now, don't let me get off on it, Lord. That's a pay cut. I mean, you just print money. And both parties do it, by the way. It's not a Democrat-Republican thing. Just printing that money out there. Everybody gets a pay cut when they do that. You know. So pray for our country. Stand for freedom. Make sure you're listening to the Lord when you follow that process. But I'm not going to preach on that today. I want to talk about Jesus. And I had a message on the world. But what I've been preaching on is about listening to God and correction, you know. Correction. Okay, Jonathan, what did I preach on last week? I said I was going to give you what? Correction and change. Correction is the wellspring of life, right? It's the wellspring of life. Your kids, and you guys know this, you guys were kids once. If you're not corrected, you'll never change in your life. You know, some kids need more than others, don't you think? Amen. I mean, some do. I needed a lot more than others. I was one of those kids. You know, I did need a correction. But correction, if you don't correct your kids, the Bible says if you correct your kids, they'll give you rest. And a lot of the trouble we have as parents is we want to be buddies with our kids. Now, if they're adults, they're adults, right? What are you going to do? You're not going to spank your 19-year-old. Probably like to, but when they're young, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. Your responsibility as a parent is to make sure you're disciplining your kids, because, and I know we need a lot of grace here, you know, a lot of us didn't know the Lord, we're trying to figure it out, but your kids, you're literally forming them and how they're going to be as they go out there, and they need correction. They don't need you to be mean, they don't need you to scream at them. They don't need you to beat them, you know, but they do need correction. I believe in the rod of correction, but they need that. So correction, kids won't change if you don't correct them, right? But they need your loving discipline. And I know it's those boundaries are hard. They were hard for me. Pam said I was too soft. I'm naturally just my way. I'm like, you know, you're grounded for 3 weeks. Dad, it's been a day. Can I go outside? Are you sorry for what you did? You know, I'm just a soft person. Okay, but really you're better if you kind of hold your boundaries there and correct your kids. The Bible says if you correct them, they will give you rest. It's for their good. Correction is not selfish for you to express your anger. It's for your kids' good. So they'll come out. Well, God is a father and he corrects us. And I've been teaching on that. And I said last week how God primarily, what he wants to do is use his word and correct us and guide us in the word. Could be through preaching, study. What happens when someone's not reading the word?
A lot of flesh coming out.
And it's God's not going to be able to use the word to talk to you and guide you if you're not in the word, right? So you're not going to know what he's saying. It is such an honor. I'm just pastoring today again. It's such an honor to be able to read the Bible. I don't know why we don't do it. I ask people, and I remember Mr. Scouten used to say this, people would tell him this. I said, are you reading the Bible? What's the number one answer you get?
Not as much as I should.
That's exactly the answer. And I'm like, if you've told me that, that's okay. I mean, you know, how much should you read? They said, not as much as I should. That's what almost everybody says. Well, unless they're in it, you know. Well, no one reads probably as much as we should. I'm in it all the time. I could read more. But it's not like be a good person and read the Bible and put a check mark. And I've talked about that. You're reading the Word because you're renewing your mind and you're giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to educate you and speak to you. You know, even though you're saved and Christ now lives in you, and he does live in you, the Bible's the truth, Christ lives in you, you still have a mind and a way of living and patterns that the Lord needs to come in there and make adjustments. And if we go through our life and we don't allow the Lord to change us, I talked last week about we have to learn things the hard way, don't we? You do. And I could tell personal stories about people and situations, and I wish... You ever remember that song? You remember that song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready? Remember that? It's like, you remember they used to have those scary movies, Left Behind? And I mean, before the ones they have now, way back, and they'd have these movies where people would go into the church and there'd be pants on the pew. Remember that? And then everybody would be, Mom? Dad? And you see Mom's britches on the pew. Anybody ever see a movie like that? Like The Rapture, people were raptured. Who doesn't know what The Rapture is? Don't be afraid. Okay, the rapture is Jesus is going to come take the church. So this one, they had their britches on. I guess they're naked in heaven, Charlie. I don't know. You know, they have a robe of righteousness. But yeah, just be and they'd have these scary movies where people would go and try to find people, and then the Antichrist would show up. And but there was a song, you know, coming out of that said, "I wish we'd all been ready." Well, the way we get ready is living our life before the Lord. Okay. I'm saying it over and over, I'm repeating, but I need to repeat, that God wants the best for you. He's not trying to take away your fun. But if we're not in the Word, and I'm beseeching you, get in the Word. It's like I could come up here and try to teach healing to you and how God wants to heal your body. If you're not in the Word, that's like, it's not going to mean anything to you on Wednesday, because it's not going to be in your mind. When you get saved, Christ is in you. But it's almost like walking with Jesus or walking in the Spirit. That's a consciousness. You're conscious of God being with you. You're conscious during the week that the Holy Spirit is with you. You're aware that God is moving. You're aware that the Holy Spirit, when you walk with the Lord and you spend time with the Lord in prayer, maybe you have 10 minutes. That's what God wants from you. Maybe 20, whatever you can get. God wants to change your consciousness where you're aware of the Spirit in your life. You're aware of what He's saying to you. And no one on this earth is going to get there where you're just like you say, how are you doing? Well, I'm not where I should be. No one is where they should be, right? How many has squandered time? How many has wasted opportunity? How many did it perfect this week? So I'm not coming to you from, you know, everybody's like, nah. I'm not coming to you from that place like I'm doing it. But while we have time, Paul said, you know, while it is day, he said, wake up while it's day. The nighttime's coming. And for my friend, my family member, it's done. His race is over, right? It's done. Whatever he could have done or should have done or was going to do, his race is over. We love him and we're happy that he's with Jesus. But we're still here and we're in a race. You got a little victory. I'm happy. I love victory. I like to win. But I am convinced that God has so much more for us. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Now, how many are living that type of life, the exceedingly abundantly above life? Ken is. Amen. If you are, amen. I'm eking my way that way. I'm getting there. Some days I definitely am. I mean, you know what I mean? And I know the Lord is always moving us, but God is moving us. That comes from renewing your mind and walking in the Spirit and finding out. I had a pastor I had coffee with this week. He's been a pastor for a long time. I love him. He said it was a few months ago or last year, he finally is learning to trust God with his finances. Known the Lord for how long? Right? 30, 40, I don't know how long, but finally I'm learning how to trust God with my finances. Wouldn't it be better to learn that right away? Like, I want to learn. Sometimes we get put in situations where we're forced to learn. Like, you know, you're forced, like, boo, now I'm in a situation. Or, you know, and I've in my life a lot of times I didn't learn. And I sunk. And then the Lord had to come bail me out. Anybody ever been bailed out by the Lord in their life? Yeah. I didn't pass the test. It's a test. I'm not saying God's life is testing us. And God has a way, and I sunk, and finally the Lord just had pity on me. Like Peter, do you think Peter passed the test when he walked out of the boat? He did partially, right? He was walking for a while, and he was because he was looking at Jesus. That's the key to everything. Talked about it last week. You fix your eyes on Jesus. I got a message on what it means to be dead to this world. I was going to preach it today. It's a great message. It's good news that we're dead to this world. If you're not in the Word, that means nothing to you. I'm dead to this world. What do you mean dead to? I'm not dead to the. You're being dead to this world is a good thing. But he was walking. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus, and he was looking at Jesus. And the minute he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? He failed the test. So the way to pass the test, we know right now, is when you're going through the trial, you fix your eyes on Jesus, right? You keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to pass the test. What we do is we start looking at the wind and the waves. The wind is that behavior of the person that's bothering you or that thing that's attacking you. That's the wind and the wave. And those things are all coming to get you to get your eyes off Jesus, but he wants you to fix your eyes on him. And when we do that, we're going to pass the test. Well, how do we fix our eyes on Jesus? You're going to have to, sooner or later, we're going to have to renew our minds in the Word so we're hearing from God. You're going to have to listen to your pastor. Get that podcast out. You say, man, God really spoke to me today. Anybody ever say that? Once in a while, maybe, when I'm preaching, God really spoke to me. But then the next week I say, what did I preach on? You go, you know, I don't remember. But I know God spoke to me. Go get that podcast out and listen to it again. God is talking to you. God is speaking to you. God does have a destiny. And I'm getting more and more, I was telling Pam on the way here, I believe in the blessings of God. I walk in them, you know, and I've told you that. God blesses me financially. God blesses me in my physical body. I believe in those things. But I'm believing more and more that the purpose of God in our life, I'm seeing, is really this transformation. Because I'm telling you, if you had everything you wanted right now from God, you're as healthy as an ox, you had all the money that you needed, and you know your husband was good to you, your wife was good to you, your kids were good, you'd be happy. I know that makes you joyful. But if you're not fulfilling your destiny, if you're not reaching out, if you're not in your ministry that God, there's going to be an emptiness inside you. You can have, Solomon had everything, didn't he? He had 700 wives. I'm sure a few of them were good. Amen? Had to be a couple good ones in there, amen? He had wives and concubines. He had all the money any man would ever want. He was a king. He had respect. And yet he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes that said, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. Then he ends the book and he says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and obey his commandments, keep his commandments. And he had everything. So to live an abundant life, to live a really fulfilled life, to live an awesome life, it really is following Jesus into your destiny. And you can do that at your school as a teacher. You can do that as a nurse. You can do it in your vocation. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. Following Jesus, it isn't just only witnessing. I talk about, guys, it's following Jesus in all of your life. It's believing him in the tough times. It's hearing him. It's learning how to trust him with your finances, learning how to trust him with your kids, learning how to trust him with your very life and living that life, keeping in step with the Lord. Then you've lived a very adventurous life as you followed the Lord. Who would have ever thought you could have had the effect on the kids that you're having and done the things? What an adventure that's been, and it's not over yet, and the Lord has more for you, but what an adventure. I've been to Honduras 15 times, Guatemala, you know, twice. I've been to India, I've been to Cuba, went out to LA on a mission trip, been to Haiti, been all over. That's the Lord. If I did not know the Lord, I wouldn't have done any of that. That all came from the Lord and stepping out and following him. And the things that are awesome in my life, the things that are a blessing, and I'm grateful for everything that the Lord gives me, but the fulfillment comes from fulfilling purpose and becoming more like Jesus. One thing the Lord's teaching me, there's a preacher, you know Dan Moeller. I'm going to get to this text because I want you to learn to hear from the Lord. By the way, well, I'll get to that. There's a preacher named Dan Moeller. I listened to him, and he's always talking about, and other preachers, becoming love. What's God's nature? It's love. It's God's nature is love. So in every encounter and in every situation, the Lord is showing me, love's unselfish. I really think all of human misery comes out of our selfishness. If we could really, even the people that like were beating Jesus, how was he looking at them? He looked at him with love, right? If we could really learn to live an unselfish life where we're not, you get offended and hurt because you're thinking about yourself. I've had people in my life that have done me wrong, and when I think about them and I, you know, think about what's good for them, when I get my mind off of me and I'm thinking about them instead of me, there's no bitterness, there's no anger. I'm thinking about why are they acting and I'm praying for them. You can be in a place of love where you really do. You're not trying to love your enemies. You're really loving them. And it's supernatural. And you won't do it on your own. And you won't do it if you don't spend time with Jesus. And you won't do it if you don't spend time in the Word. It has to be the priority of your life. That's what Jesus said, follow me. That's like the one thing that you have to do in your life. I don't know what's going to look like for you. It won't look the same as me, but that's the one thing that each of us has to do. The grace of God is on our life to follow Jesus. And I'm telling you, He wants us to look like God, which is love. God's nature is love. That's, you know, love's not a pushover. Do you think anybody ever pushed over on Jesus? Won't people just take advantage of you if you, no. If you're walking in love, you've always got the upper hand. You ever see that movie Seven? Yeah. Probably shouldn't watch it. It's really not fit to watch, but sorry, sis. I watched it too. I did too. At the end, they cried out, that guy said, I watched it. That guy at the end said, watch out, he's got the upper hand. You're like, how does he have the upper hand? Have you ever seen that? He's got the upper hand. He's got the upper hand. Stop. There was a police operation. Stop, stop. Like, there's no way this guy has the upper hand. It's impossible that this guy would have the upper hand. He's got the upper hand. That guy did have the upper hand. And everything turned out crazy and wrong because the guy's enemy had the upper hand and he won. Folks, when you have love and you're walking in God's love, you always have the upper hand. You always have the upper hand. The Word says, love never fails. Never. You think Jesus got beat at the cross? You think Jesus got beat at the cross? That was the greatest victory of all time in all humanity. What Jesus did, good triumphed over evil at the cross. Amen. That's where your sin was paid for, so you don't have to go to hell. That's the ultimate victory. That's what God is doing in our lives. He's learning, you know, where the Word says, overcome evil with good. He's in these problems and these trials and these things that are coming. I believe they're just pecking at us because God is forming this image inside you. I'm off my target. I want to talk to you about listening to God. If we're not listening to the Lord, this process can't happen. And in Matthew 23, in the last verse, Jesus has been preaching and he's talking to the Pharisees. These are religious people and these are good people. These are church-going people. They're leaders in the church, and he's been preaching to them and talking to them, and he's talking to them about this revolutionary way of living, this way of loving your enemies, the way of going the extra mile, the way of not living for mammon, the way of really living for God and putting God first, the way of seeking the kingdom first. See, this is a revolutionary concept. Jesus said, if you're seeking the kingdom first, you don't have to worry about anything in your life. Did you know that? That's what he said. It's true. It's true. I love that Shambach story where that guy was in, and I've told it here, but I'll tell it again. He was in bed. He's in like in a full body cast or whatever. He's dying and he's laying there in bed. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks through the door. And he had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus had one of those fair miters on. And Jesus put his hands out and said, you don't have any problems. His wife left him. He didn't have any money. Said, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And he left. Isn't that amazing? You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Seek ye first the kingdom. So Jesus is teaching this revolutionary message to these religious-minded people, and they're not getting it. In fact, they're jealous of him because he's really doing a work. Jesus is really doing a work. I mean, he's healing people. He's raising the dead. He's casting out demons. He's doing a work. But they're rejecting him. They're not listening. Now, how do you think Jesus felt about it? The fact that they weren't listening. Please listen to this. If you haven't heard anything else, I got some time left. If you haven't heard anything else, please listen to this. How do you think Jesus felt about it? Was he a law dog? Like his, you know, God caused fire to fall down from heaven. Get him. This was Jesus' heart. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks unto her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is being left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Judgment, and Jesus in the next chapter, chapter 24, is going to talk about the destruction of Jerusalem, how it's coming. That city's going to be flattened. And what's Jesus' heart? He said, guys, I wanted to gather you together. That's his heart for us, especially if you're a Christian. He's after non-Christians. Like, he's throwing grace out there every day of the week. You know, that little girl we talked about, God's throwing grace at her. Don't think he's not. He's throwing grace at her. The church, how much more, you know, we're the bride of Christ. How much more is God want to gather the church up all the time, and he wants to shower his blessings and grace. But sometimes we won't let him because we're not listening. Proverbs 29:1 says, if we don't listen, the person that's not listening, it said they can be put in situations where there is no remedy. It's done. Amen? It's done. It's not that God, how many times God come after us and tell us stuff, but eventually, if we don't listen, you know, we're going to get what we want. I was sharing with my friend about free will. Love is free will. It'll help you a lot when you start questioning God. God, why did this happen? Or why in this universe, I know God is sovereign. I know that and how it all works together. I'm not a genius. I can't tell you how God's sovereignty works with everything. Sovereignty means God knows what's going on. Ultimately, God's overseeing everything. It doesn't mean everything that's happening is what God wants. Some people think so. I can't believe that. But he is sovereign. But he also loves us, and because he loves us, he gives us free will. That means you have to decide. You have to choose. The word says you choose today who you're going to serve. Or not just that. Maybe you're fine. You're on your way to heaven. Life is pretty good. But if you want to walk at that next level with the Lord, you feel like, and this is how I get sometimes, Lord, I know there's more. That's the thing with me. I'm not doing obvious sins. You know, I have my battles like anybody, but I know there's more, and I'm always thinking about that. I read the Bible, and I know there's more, and I'm saying, Lord, what is it? I want to tune my ear, you know. I'm not sharing Jesus with people and going out because I'm trying to earn my way to heaven. I'm not. That's not even remotely on my mind. That's settled when Jesus died for me. I'm not even, in a way, trying to get brownie points. I love the Lord. I love Jesus, and I want to please him. I want to do those things that please him because I love him. And I know he loves people, and I know when I follow him and I get in that flow, my life is clicking. That's my jam. That's what really excites me about life. I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven. It's not about that. I know there's more, and I want to press toward that more. That means I have to listen. I've got to tune my ear. You know, we can go weeks sometimes where we're not listening to the Lord. That's when all of a sudden we bump up against something. Lord, where are you? Like, he's been there the whole time. We haven't been. Here's what I want to encourage the church. You guys with me? Okay. I want to encourage you to listen to what God is speaking in your life. And you'll save yourself so much trouble if you spend time in the Lord seeking him, praying and finding out what he's saying and being in the word or listening. You cannot even, God's talking all the time. Turn to Proverbs 20, verse 12. I'm a pastor, and so I know not every Christian listens to the Lord. I don't want to say things to tip the hat. You know what I mean? That's where I'm always careful. Like, okay, I mean, I don't want to say things like, but I just know that not everyone's listening to the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 12. Ears that hear and eyes that see The Lord God has made them both. King James says, the hearing ear and the listening, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord God has made them both. God, the Bible says, he will give me the tongue of the learner. He's opened my eyes. The Lord God has opened my eyes. He has given me the tongue of the learner. The word says, if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. God's wisdom in our life is always available. It's free, but we need to pursue it, and we got to want it. When we don't, again, God loves you. He's doing the best. We just settle for less than what God has for us in our life. I'll give you a story about, and I know as a person that shares Jesus, yesterday at the thing, I'm looking over and I saw a guy with the oxygen tube thing on, and I know how the Lord does me. I recognized him, but I didn't know him. Anybody know what I mean by that? I recognized him, but I didn't know him. That's a clue to me. That right away I know, okay, Lord, I think I recognize. I did it to two people yesterday. I recognized them, but I didn't know them. So something's going on the inside. And he popped over around, him and his wife later, they popped over, and I went over to pray for him. And I won't tell you the whole story, but in the whole time I'm trying, he says, yeah, he's believing God for his healing. He's had this thing on. So the whole time I'm talking to him, it's like he won't listen to me. You ever had anybody like that? I'm trying to give him, look, I believe God, he registered on me. I know the Lord has sent me. I may not have every answer for him, but there's a reason why I'm talking to him. And I know the Lord wants me to talk, but when I'm trying to talk to him, he's not listening. He just keeps talking. I say, well, and I prayed for him. I say, hey, will you do this? And it was almost like everything I was saying was going bing, 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 bing right off. And I was trying to get him to cooperate with me and praying for him to be, and I did get to, he's a lovely guy. I really liked him. And I loved his wife. She was a lovely. I prayed for her. She had something going on with her, and he had something. But it was almost like, and I had just had another encounter with the guy. Same thing. I was trying to talk, and you're trying to see what the Lord wants you to say, but they're so busy, like, answering. And I just think in my life and the people I know, like a lot of times parents, when you're trying to give your kids advice and they already know, right? Anybody ever been there? You guys, you know, some of you are blessed, you know, but they always know already, or they know better than you or whatever. It's like bing bing, it doesn't even get like. And I said, Lord, now I love that guy and his wife. I enjoyed talking to him, but I said, Lord, how often am I like that? That's my concern. How often am I not listening to you? Like, you know, when am I not listening? You've given me a hearing ear. You've given me a seeing eye. We're supposed to be praying for wisdom and revelation. Do you expect there's things about God that you don't know? Do you? Do you think your life is perfect? Just everything that's just perfect in your, or even just the way God, if God could orchestrate every step, it's the way God would want your life? No, his grace is on us. We're under grace. So because of grace, grace is given to us because God's process of transformation. Yeah, God does, you know, when we sin, he forgives us. And sometimes we sin unintentionally or we don't even know we're sinning. And his grace is abundant. He's not slamming us. We got struggles. We have temptations. We may even be doing sin and God's grace is there loving us. But he's always trying to bring us forward. God is not saying that, yeah, just go ahead and sin and everything's peachy keen. That's because, I was talking to Pam about this today, this morning too, because the wages of sin is death. God does not want to leave you in a death lifestyle, right? He doesn't want to leave you in death. And if we're sinning, we're living in death, and the wages of sin is death, the soul that sinneth dies. So God is always trying to pull you out of that because he loves you. So he's trying to pull you. It's not like God's mad and mean. Quite the opposite. He sent his son to die for you because he loves you. And because he loves you, that's where our faith and trust in God should be. It's God, if you sent Jesus to die for me and you love me that much that you died on a cross for me, then I'm going to trust you. I am going to trust you. If you went that far for me, then I can trust you with my marriage, with my money, with my kids, with my life. And so when the Lord allows things to be pressing us and to bring change, the best thing we can do is just to listen to the Lord. And the Bible says he'll pour out more grace. He'll give more grace. And just say, Lord, more grace, Lord, more grace. And agree with him. He is giving us a hearing ear. He is giving us a seeing eye. I've got two more scriptures. One I'll just read in Romans 10:21. God's people, the Lord said, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient people. I don't believe that's you. I don't think all day long. That was under the Old Testament. Those folks were disobeying God. But God's nature, God's heart toward his people, even when they weren't listening, he said all day, this is God's heart. He says, all day long I'm stretching forth my hand. And that was how rebellious they were. How much more that we're the children of God is God all day long stretching out his hand toward us. I want you to believe it. I want you to believe it. I want you to believe. You guys just got smacked with a huge trial, right? You know, we knew like, okay, we don't know how it's going to be. We don't know how it's going to work out, but God will take this thing. He will work something good. We got to trust him in this because God is good. We're going to get through this thing and we're going to see the goodness of God. I imagine in eternity, we're going to look back and we are going to see the goodness of God in everything we've ever done in life. God is only good, so the only thing he can do in your life is push you toward the good. Bible says he's not tempted with evil, and he doesn't tempt any man with evil. He's good. Now, that good may not look like, things may not, the process may not be just exactly what we're expecting. And a lot of reasons for that. Last scripture, and I'll end. I got a whole section here, about 10 scriptures. I'm done. I'm not going to, someone say amen. Someone say thank you, Jesus. In John 5:44, well, I'll go to verse 41. I was reading this morning. He said, I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. Who's he talking to? Talking to a religious, the scribes and the Pharisees. They're uber religious. Because it's really about the heart. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if I came in someone else's name, you would accept me. Now, this is the verse. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from God only? How can you believe if you want a pat on the back, you want praise from men, but you're not looking for the praise that comes from God? The praise that comes from God happens when you and the Lord are dealing. I hope this isn't too heavy, guys. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to form this character of Christ in your life. He just is not going to settle until you look like Jesus. When we want the praise that comes from God, and we know that God's good, then we get away with the Lord and we let him work in our life. We open up our heart to him. We allow him into those tough places. And we don't make decisions independent of the Lord. Just, I've done it, nothing ever worked good when I made these decisions. I went through a period of time where I cooled in my affection toward God and kind of became about money. I took a management job for FedEx, and I think I was throwing newspapers. And then, I'll never forget, I took a little job at a coffee shop because I like coffee. Anybody know that? I like coffee. So I just fit right in. You know, the Lord didn't want me to take that job. I got two kids. I'm working at FedEx, working all the hours I can because I had to make money. I was good. That was a good thing. It was a good job, Brad. Working, taking care of your family. Good job. All right? You know, I threw newspapers and we were trying to work our way out of that, but I had to do that for a long time to make extra money because I got kids and I got responsibility. And, you know, I got ministries in church, but my heart was cooling. Well, then I decided I'd take a part-time job working at a coffee shop too. So I got newspapers, family, kids, church, all this stuff. And I go take this part-time job at a coffee shop. It was the worst experience of my life. That woman, you talk about Broomhilda. Or Jezebel, but no, she's probably fine. The problem was probably I was in the wrong place. I bear her no umbrage. But she just didn't like me. And it wasn't fun. The only job that I ever got fired from, she came and looked at me and said, "It's just not working out." I said, "You got that right. Take this apron, you know. Take this job." Oh, no, sorry. "I ain't working here no more." But it was bad, and I knew why, and I left. I said, "God, I know I wasn't supposed to take that job. I'm thinking I'm going to buy a coffee shop, and I'm just, all my mind's just all this." I never prayed about it. The Lord wasn't in it. That was me. And it was like 2 or 3 weeks of hell, right? Hell on earth. Like, nothing's as bad as that. And then I was done, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, I got it. You know, I'm going to be praying about the stuff I get into, and I need to involve you in it." And everything worked out all right. Amen? Everything worked out. I was glad. Guys, how many know I don't own a coffee shop? But I am where I'm supposed to be. Church, involve the Lord in your everyday life. You're not me. You don't have to look like me or be like me, but you need God in your life. Learn to trust Him and seek the praise that comes from God. Say, "God, what do you think?" I talked to you just talk to people. I did some counseling this week, and you're just like, "How do you think that way? How do you even think that way?" It's like, "Okay, I got some work here cut out for me. I got to do some, this thinking process has to change." I'm not going to give an altar call. Y'all look saved to me. Everybody saved in here? Ken gave you an altar call this morning. But guys, if you need to involve God, or you're not, you know, if things of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 2, it says the things of the Spirit are foolish to a natural person. If people are talking about things in the Word and you're just like, it's foolishness to you, you got to take another step. You know, the Lord really does heal bodies. And the Lord really does do things. And we really can connect with God. I know He guides me. I can tell you story after story where the Lord, no one's perfected in it, but the Lord's real. If some of this stuff is foolish, we got to take another step. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to dismiss. I saw a little glimpse of lung. I don't know if it was breathing this morning when I'm praying. It may not even be somebody here, but someone you know. But it's a lung issue. Who is that? That's you? What's going on with your lungs? Breathing? It's breathing. It was lungs with breathing. Okay. Julie, would you go just set, and you, I'm going to have you pray for her and put your hand on her. Is there somebody else? And it could even be someone that you're associated with. Anybody else? What, Larry? That's it right there. That's it. What happened, I was laying on my back. I was done praying. I rolled on my back, and I'd been talking to the Lord. I didn't give Him a chance to talk to me. Oh, by the way, you ought to listen to God when you pray. Amen. Because I was doing all the jabbing. I literally flew over on my back, and as soon as I rolled on my back, I saw two lungs. Just choop. And it's John Keener. And you're like what they call a drive-by shooting. You get the drive-by. No, it's good. It's good. God's going to heal you in a drive-by shooting. But that's good. That's good. Anybody else? I'm sure it's John. And he needs a lung transplant? Okay. All right. Would he accept a visit from the elders? Okay. Why don't we all go lay hands on him? I'm going to pray for him now, but why don't we hook it up? At least two of us go lay hands on him. Okay? All right. Chrissy, in Jesus' name. Julie, touching you, everybody put your hand right now, aphylactic, I don't even know what that is. Lord, I pray for Chrissy's lungs that they open up in Jesus' name. I release healing right now. Be healed, be strong, and other things in your body, spirit of infirmity, stop it in Jesus' name. Loose off of her, go in Jesus' name. John Keener, be healed in Jesus' name. Lung, grow, do what's right, obey God. And Lord, I pray for grace and mercy on John's life. God, I pray for grace and mercy on his life. Lord, help him, bless him, open his ears, open his eyes, and Lord, give him a new lung in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for the gang here, and I know we're your children. I think you got some pretty obedient kids in here, but I think we all need to learn to listen and tune in. Lord, it's not about us, it's about other people. It's about, you know, it involves us, but the whole process involves the whole world. people that are going to hell in their life that don't know you. And Father, help us to be effective together. Help us to love one another and operate as a team and do what we should. Lord, I pray that we have a great 4th of July weekend, a great 5th of July, 4th of July. Bless all us runners tomorrow. Keep us healthy and strong. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a great week.